for welcome Chenoba. But firstly, before they get Chen on the line, we go on for Leona no say the African Express, na US-based press, we say then they for provide grassroots African perspective and self-progressive on all that they happen in the lives of African them. Well, they don't they do this work as they see them same way so they expose corruption, then they defend the media and serve, help for promote democracy and good governance na African country them. And we go on for know this PNCM, we see the African Express since March 2020 been on the pull different publication them, outside they make allegations them. First on the first day the office, they keep them with the president and in wealth don't they do. And the latest one where we see now outside them pull publication again, on couple we didn't see the chief minister in office be done the use, but not been go through some procurement process them. Well, we want to know how the African Express, they do all of this. We make we get on the line now. Chenoba, we are the editor for the African Express. Good morning and welcome to the program. Good morning, Salon Channel.
Yes, thank you very much, 98.1, and good morning, Pastor Union.
All right. I don't briefly tell listeners them both on our work, but before we can look at the details of the different publications them where the African Express be done the police being sent for seka how government officials them at Salon be done they use the Konski in Kopo. Just quickly start for tell we how long the African Express done they operate.
Well, the African Express a project from an organization with start from 2001, and so for the past years now, the organization will look at various issues around governance, democratic participation, and the fight against corruption throughout African countries, and especially. But I think the current, which is more important in this case, that the current project would look at the Salon, they're part of a three-country program to examine new governments that will emerge, especially in the West African region, in between 2016 to 2018. And that got to do with the government of the Gambia, with Adama Barrow, following the election of the election will remove the long-term dictator, Yahya Jammeh. Then we get also the new government of Liberia. And then the election of retired Brigadier Madabiona at Sierra Leone. So the current Sierra Leone project falls within these three country projects to examine how these new, what you call new regimes emerge in this West African region. One in Liberia, one in Sierra Leone, and also this one Gambia, and foresee the different challenges. We talk about Gambia, for example, the constitutional crisis with Imaji, and then Liberia again, the first election after the war where literally transition from an incumbent to an opposition party. And in the case of Sierra Leone, we had a continuation of transitions which only take place since 2002. So we try to examine the new patterns of democratization, basically in Africa, and that include the management of resources, the structural arrangements of governance, and the quality of governance generally. So that within this scope, 90 Sierra Leone project, fall in place. But the investigation at Sierra Leone again lasts for 14 months of looking at public finance management, especially so if I remember when we get the transition in April 2018, the government passed two executive orders. Executive order number one, we talk about revenue mobilization, domestic revenue mobilization, and then executive order number two, we talk about fiscal control measures. And these, they in line with waiting the new government within our power now, talk about in the new direction manifesto and all of that. So we try to track public expenditure under the Bureau regime, for see how the conduct of the government also they in line with the manifesto promises that the government make. So this publication basically interrogates the promises of the government based on the manifesto promises that they make. And if you look, then certain don't talk about them, they don't even accept themselves and say they don't deliver on a number of those manifestos. So we try as an organization to see, okay, on the question of economic management of the resources, public finances, whether this government actually committed to corruption, and the pronouncement of the government, both in the manifesto before the Nkana Power and then performance over this period of 3 years, whether exactly the public pronouncement matched the actual performance.
Look at the current project we say una the focus na Salon, Gambia and Liberia. We they can look at the allegations we don't they come out for Salon. But back to the African Express. You say una begin work inside 2001. And this BNTM we really don't they see what una don't they do na Salon especially. But let we share who that then are the brain behind the African Express and self also una they get support from.
Oh, we're an independent organization of academics and researchers spread across various universities in the African continent. Some journalists, at least we don't get experience in media practice for a minimum of 10 years, and other people, and they were non Africans, basically academics, where they do research on Africa. For example, myself, currently as the editor-in-chief, I don't do media practice for more than 10 years. Last time, I was editor of Concord, and I think around 2005 or so. But besides that, I also right now complete a PhD. You know, my other two colleagues, we write the series on Sierra Leone right now. Also, one, a doctoral student at the University of Pittsburgh. Another one again, a professor at the University of Louisville, with director of publication, also a professor at the University of Louisville. So this is an organization of academics and journalists where they carry out research on various subjects of African development. Some specialize in media freedom, some specialize in different aspects of socioeconomic developments in Africa. And plenty of we again in the African Express again now veteran journalists. Some don't practice to the level of being editors, others correspondents of different agencies. Then we are independently funded. We don't get any association of organizations with the fund. We basically they pull together with resources from these various research organizations.
So, Cheno, now to the issues them.
Carry out with project.
Now to the issues them of corruption allegations where the African Express be done the pool since March 2020, where we don't go to the latest one we get for do with the chief minister in office. Let me first know waiting na the idea behind the set of people and where on a start for look at the office of the presidency, the first lady, and now we see the chief minister.
No, I think if you start from that point, you don't count the second phase of the project. Like I say, the Sierra Leone project, basically they interrogate the manifesto promises of the government of Sierra Leone. You remember President Julius Maada Bio and the SLPP promised a new direction. And when the Nkana Power, for example, then talk about reduction of waste, you know, and closing down leakages, and a number of measures, including reduction in travel expenditure. We start with a situation where the government didn't talk about, say, they inherit a broken economy. And we all witnessed the pervasive corruption which did not take place in the previous 10 years before the government came. So by promising the people of Sierra Leone a reduction in public waste, in you know, prudent financial management. So we decided to check whether 2 years down the line, how the government don't fare on. And that came about from the fact that they don't implement a single treasury account, they don't supposedly centralize revenue mobilization and expenditure in the hands of a single ministry. So which means that all the other wastage will be happening in government agencies, ministries and departments, but don't reduce. But still we witness inflation may happen, you know, commodity prices may go up, and a point towards even the towards the end of 2019, they may talk about the difficulties in paying salaries. So all of this, why we think say there must be something associated with, you know, public finance difficulties, what we need for what we need to interrogate. So basically, we try to hold the government accountable based on the promises that they've made, and to see whether they have lived up to the manifesto promises of reducing high-end expenditure for cut down wastage, for reduce the size of tribal delegations and all of that. And we cannot say, in fact, President Madabio has been the most highly traveled president in recent times. So how much that don't cost the people of Sierra Leone in terms of, you know, public finance expenditure and things like that. So we start with, for example, the Minister of Finance, because we notice that if you don't mop up all of these wastages, you don't centralize, they announce how much they generate on a daily basis and how much they spend, to the point that they claim that they pay salaries now without without domestic borrowing. We need to find out if it is not true. And we still say with the inflation and all of that, something was wrong. And when we look now, we find out that in fact, the wage bill don't increase. So if you remember, the first article will be published on March 1, 2020, get for do with the bloated page, the bloated wage bill. The government has been talking in the election promises that they get for reduce the size of the, you know, expenditure where they go on the payroll. Then we find out the payroll don't increase by 45% in the 2 years, getting to 2 years with Nkana power. And we published that article showing, for example, the salaries of newly appointed political appointees from the financial sector that was earning more than 80 million leones a month. We compare them with other junior civil servants where, like the Ministry of Finance, for example, who were getting less than 2 million leones. That was very scandalous. And we see the government developed a creative mechanism to which they hide corruption in the payroll by rewarding the political party appointees with these positions that they create high-end salaries. Very recently, we even identified a situation where, for example, the nutritionist of the president, the cameraman of the president, all these people get more than 20 million leones a month, when university professors do not earn up to 20 million leones. So we aggregate them here. We see, this situation in not different promotion that are happening. In fact, the government don't accelerate public expenditure to 45% when it comes to the payroll. So if you see, there is a systematic approach to this situation in which we begin to look sector by sector. We go to foreign travel taxes. We go to telecommunication companies that are not paying taxes. We went on to the process of maritime administration. You see the scandal where they happened there regarding corruption. So throughout the government, up to now, that we begin estimate again travel expenditure by the president, how much it don't cost the people of Sierra Leone. So we find out that systematically we observe there is a complete dichotomy or difference between what in the government they say and what in actually they happen. And we decide to show this one with primary documentation. Like, for example, Minister of Finance, we show the payroll where they show, say, senior political appointees, people making $300, $400 a day as consultants.
Hello, Mr. Ba.
And issues of double dipping and all of these things pervasive in the thing. So basically, I would draw the attention of the government, say, you have operated completely in opposite to the manifesto promises that you gave to the people, and that your public pronouncements are not reflective of what is actually happening in governance.
So, Mr. Ba, let me look at the last publication, the MOU don't do. More get for do with procurement, which we can't talk about later. But you look at more you publication and get for do with expenditure of within governments really they spend. Mm-hmm. And you, based on waiting, you don't they publish, you they compare than the expenditure to corruption.
Corruption in the first place is not just the diversion of public money mm-hmm. into personal mm-hmm. ends. Corruption, not the flouting of procedures. Because what you are aiming at, looking at now on the question of procurement and all of these are basically manifestations of corruption, some aspect of it. But when you talk about corruption in the first place, we publish, like I have been saying earlier, in the case of the payroll, you develop an advanced mechanism through which you hide, you understand, you hide the, and legitimize the method of diverting public funds by creating salaries for political appointees with more than regular civil servants. So, and or you take advantage of travel. you take advantage of travel per diem by saying, you know, because somebody did travel go to New York, you're entitled to per diem, and you make frequent travel by specific officials. Who are these officials who are traveling? So you find out the government starts first in the first, in the beginning, you should ask the question to get at this, ask the question, why government didn't publish the list of presidential delegates or people who may travel abroad? And now they suddenly stop that because the travel expenditure, now one of the means to which then they justify the diversion of public money to their own end. So these patterns of corruption, you know, innovative and creative methods of diverting public resources is reflected in the government. So it is them to
travel expenditure, to
increase the salaries, to procurement, to all of these methods. That is what we've been highlighting in various sector by sector, department by department, every department where you look. And then it comes to the question of illegal public spending as well.
Let me look at, in all of this investigation where you don't do as investigative journalist, also it require you forget the other side of the post people where you don't, where one they investigate. In all of this, you don't ever try forget onto the other side of them people there where you can name in the, this investigation.
Well, of course, we get letters, we write to emails, correspondences in which we write to government agencies and departments. In some of the previous publications, we interview some of the officials who are willing to be interviewed. In other instances, we call public officials, they refuse to respond. These are reflected in some of the reports. So in 14 months, first and foremost, we collect primary evidence. We therefore deal with government correspondences, government data as it is. There has never been any publication by the African Express in which each of the publications are supported by triangulated evidence. The evidence, they come from government, their own correspondences and documents. For example, we'll talk about, say, the Minister of Finance, wage bill don't increase. We support them by providing the evidence, showing, for example, that the financial secretary earned more than 86 million leones a month. The financial secretary come out after the publication and say, yes, indeed, it earned that salary, but that's the salary inherited. When we publish, for example, the Office of the First Lady, saying that the Office of the First Lady received an illegal budgetary allocation of $3 million, the equivalent of $3 million in less than 3 years, the Office of the First Lady come out, the First Lady come out and say, yes, he received the money, and he begin to justify. So basically, there has never been any of the publications running up to almost a year now by the African Express in which any of these officials deny the authenticity of the publications. What they have been trying to do is to rationalize or justify their action. And the rationalization either for say this has been how they meter in the case of salaries, they say to APC leper. Okay? But they forgot that they promised a departure from the old ways of doing things. So we don't make effort to talk to these people. For example, we talk about there was one instance in which we sent a letter. We made phone calls to NACOVAC people. For example, when we get this correspondence where the Attorney General was asking the audit service not to investigate, not to audit NACOVAC or stop the audit because they claimed that there was an emergency, we called the Attorney General. He said, you know, they talked to me. Then we also sent an email. No, I just want to answer your question. We also sent an email to NACOVAC. They refused. They only responded after the publication came out.
That's so like 48 hours after. Of people so way you they always
public
way you
officials,
talk about.
We're willing for entertain other side of the voices, but at the same time, let us underline the fact that no public official don't ever deny any of the evidence we have published. And that includes from payrolls to bank statements, to official correspondences of government officials. They cannot.
You equate people and salary to corruption.
Oh, yeah. People and salary to corruption. That now which we call legitimizing. Corruption is not just an innovative mechanism to which a government creates a method for thief government money, for example. This government promise for harmonize the salary, okay? Then say the previous government get a bloated wage bill. Read the manifesto of the SLPP when they were campaigning for power and read the public pronouncements of the president and the finance minister in appropriation bills, what they talked about was they promised the harmonization of salaries, the new wage bill, and all of that. It is now 3 years. They haven't. In fact, it will even surprise people of Sierra Leone. Since last year, when we published that payroll, the current financial secretary's pay don't even increase from 86 million now to 100 million with the new payroll. Check it out. Go to the Minister of Finance and ask them and show you the payroll. So they have increased their own salaries. And what did they do? Even 2 weeks ago, they passed a moratorium pay. Department and agencies were stopped. The own internal review of salaries, because they then get a bill that cabinet where they want to go to parliament. So what we are saying is that these people develop an advanced mechanism to which they hide the corruption in the payroll by making for themselves bigger salaries and less civil servants, regular civil servants, under the same difficult conditions. Then you don't understand. The same way we go allocate the office of the first lady, we're not a statutory institution, $3 million. Then you know they give lecturers salaries who have been on strike for several months now, demanding increase in wages. So this is corruption.
Exposing it's morally wrong, Mr. Ba?
And it's financially not prudent for a government that promised all of these things.
Mr. Ba, exposing corruption when I want panitin them with the Africanist press they do. Going beyond that, I believe at the end of the day, when I expose corruption, when I think say they happen at certain public office, when I go one for the action be taken. Moving it from there, the Africanist press, with all the publications the way una don't do, and evidence them way una publish as well within the public now, una willing, if the Anti-Corruption Commission reach out to una as they don't begin investigate some of the thing them way una already don't publish, una willing for help the Anti-Corruption Commission for fight corruption where una the alleged say they happen?
Interested you raise that question, because the point is that it late in the day for perhaps to make this media catch up with some of this, but this is things we've said openly, that in some of the online new media people, we don't pay attention to what they publish and don't they provide with the platform to communicate some of the things that we publish. Corruption is not just in the past. Corruption is a living organism. Okay. The government, this current government, they look at corruption only between what happened 2008 to 2018. And we, they say, corruption is a living organism, that the test of the corruption fight in Salon, which we are committed to supporting, is that the commission should be willing to look at corruption in the present continuous sense. That is what I have said as editor of the African Society, justifying this publication or talking about the rationale of this publication. We went as far as even saying on Sarah Gem Media that with the offer we expertise for free, we not even want the anti-corruption. We can even send people, if they guarantee them their security, non-Sierra Leoneans to assist them if they don't have the ability to do that. But look here, I think the question here, how will anti-corruption with their Scorpion Squad be able to arrest somebody na Kuntolo, we hide inside one buffer, go catch her with the exam paper, come parade on a street, but they cannot see graft in high places, in banks and other things, and payroll, corruption, and the use of travel per diem, the loopholes in travel per diem, or accumulate money for a set of officials, but they can see teachers who are supposedly stealing exam, but they cannot see this bigger corruption. So, if they are willing, but the Anti-Corruption Commission is on record for say, we are sensational. It's in a sensational publication to make. He said, we don't even know about corruption. Nobody dictates to him what his job is. We are not dictating. We are basically committed to highlighting some of these cases so we can improve the quality of governance in African environment, because the cost of corruption is huge. The cost of corruption is unquantifiable. Very few weeks ago, we did talk about a healthcare worker who was dying because there's lack of resources for help. This woman undergo a simple surgery, and you have government agencies and even non-government agencies like the Office of the First Lady sitting on huge resources when lecturers were not even having paid. So what we are saying is that until we remove the partisan approach to fighting graft and corruption within, for example, Sierra Leone, it's going to be a difficult task, and that is the problem. The Anti-Corruption Commission will provide details of this evidence of illegal spending or illegal allocation of government resources to the office of the First Lady, what were they saying? It's a sensational thing until they are compelled by people's voices. Now people then complain, say question, say now the anti-corruption is going back 14 years ago to talk about corruption, which is fine to us.
But what we are saying is they have to understand
corruption is a dynamic force and a living organism. If they are willing to fight, the people of Sierra Leone ready for provide them with the evidence. Okay, if we can have access to some of these massive graft in public departments, agencies, and ministries, we see no reason why anti-corruption will be able to go catch somebody in a corner, at one village, where they say the chief exam. Then they will identify corruption right across the road with the Minister of Finance.
In all of this, they are committed to this fight. In all of this, their investigative journalism, yeah, so what they do, what do you hope for achieve?
No, not to me. Not when you say with me that you're personalizing it. Let us say what is the Africanist project's higher goal. The goal here is to advance the quality of governance and democracy in Africa. And this Sierra Leone situation, an example of many other projects, the quality of governance gets to do with the prudent management of financial resources. That includes the proper allocation of resources. Government resources are not the private property of politicians in power. That's African politicians need to know that. That the quality of governance moving from the management of public resources, we talk about also the quality of democracy, free speech, you understand, the encouragement of multi-party democracy. But a situation which you even look at what happened a few days ago, where a bank official is sacked simply because he had made a comment regarding this accountability discussion that happened at the country. So what are we saying is that once that situation began happen, you are basically suppressing people, and where people are able to speak out, not able to participate in the debates on public policy and the management of the national resources of the country, you are basically, as a government, preventing yourself from harnessing the potentials in the country for advance the quality of governance. And also especially the latest one from the office of the chief minister,
get for do with procurement. We see the Auditor General's reports mentioned, waiting you not mention. So waiting you see so where the Auditor General you not see in the report, where get for do with purchase of items, we go through procurement or not go through procurement.
Well, the audit service don't do tremendously well over the years, because if you look at the content of the GCP report, you look at the content, most of the discussion we have with the COI, Commission of Inquiry, got to do with the primary material from the audit service. It's a wonderful job. But a few days ago, you see how officials of the government were even, and the agents, they even been attacked the audit service. But moving from the audit service, you know, they capture the entire financial arrangement of the country, that is sampling of sectors. Okay, in the case of the office chief minister, as you highlight, the audit service looked for 2019. Our report captures not just 2019, but the entire 2.5 years of the Manabio administration. Let's say going to 3 years now, from 2018 August 27, where the accounts will talk about the big operator, because there are many things we need to highlight. We will talk about procurement in this case, issues of legality, as we mentioned. So, two things occur to me: it's either the audit service was not provided with all of the material of audit, and then can talk about this, the unwillingness of public officials to submit themselves to real scrutiny by the audit by government auditors or the audit service. Secondly, the failure of public officials will respond to management queries by the audit service. These are all in the audit report from 2015 to now, or you go back to any other period, or you look at the recent one. These are all reflected there. So the audit service, if there are reports or indications of issues will be the report that the audit service not capture, it could be a number of other things. One, possibly the office of the chief minister not provide some of this material to them. And secondly, we cover a time period that stretches beyond 2019. So there are things that we have highlighted which the audit service may not have looked at as of now, or that they might look at in the future.
Mr. Abba, there are also allegations that you have been paid for some of the work here, so we did do. How true is that?
Say the question again.
There are allegations also that then they pay you for do them publications. They pay you and your team, the Africanist Press, for some of their publication there. So where una they do? How true is it?
What are they pay we? Where is it in the pay we? What
that's
does that mean?
Una self they is una they into corrupt practices also.
because we highlight evidence of corruption in the Madabio administration, and we talk about these issues, government will talk to them committed to be scrutinized and committed to fighting corruption and graft and reduce public spending and close leakages. When a journalist or a group of research institutions like ours highlight some of these inadequacies or question marks on the way they manage public finance, so that means that somebody they pay with. It gets at the question of what are the questions? The question here for us is whether the government is committed. So we are not receiving money from any. No. I've answered that question from the beginning. Tell you, see, there are people involved in this who are not Sierra Leoneans. That's why I told you, don't look at the question as me, Chernobyl, because that's the thing. I see these people writing about Chernobyl. They don't go to the point of even saying I'm a Guinean. I just read a newspaper headline where somebody sent to me, say, I'm a Sierra Leonean Guinean. That solve the issue. The issue here is, do we have a bloated payroll under the BO administration? One, how much the travel expenditure of the president don't cost the national budget? Is it right to allocate $3 million to the office of the first lady that is not a legal entity? Why forget an account in the Bank of Sierra Leone? Okay. When we come to the office of the chief minister, I want to raise this before we forget about it, because when the discussion is spread all across the place with the time for misissues. Number one, what is the importance of this publication for the office of the chief minister, where we are saying 34 billion leones has been spent on irregular procurement and also on travel per diem? I have seen responses around the fact that this is a two-way parliament, the parliament approved them. But let me say this. Much of that expenditure, if you look at the report, much of that expenditure went to the Directorate of Science, Technology and Innovation. What you have to understand is that the Directorate of Science, Technology and Innovation is not even a legal organization. It's not even a legal entity. Like how you get a government agency, for example, like EDSA, or you get the NPA, or you get Guma Valley, where they are government agencies established by an act of parliament. DSTI is not established by parliament. It cannot receive money on its own from the public budget. The only difference between DSTI and the office of the first lady is because the government takes the expenditure of DSTI, puts it under the supposed ministry, the office of the chief minister. So you people have to look at this report on the basis of the illegality of the funding in the first place. A government agency, while the president gets the power to appoint anybody into any office, but an institution, when an institution operates like DSTI, the structural arrangement in the first place is even illegal, because it's not established by an act of parliament. So which means that much of 60 to 70% of the expenditure we talk about is office of the first. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It is operating as an agency, as a directorate. It can either be a directorate under the Ministry of Higher Education and Science and Technology.
Try for wrap up this interview now. So let me look at this. In your publication also, you make mention of 20 CSOs and also 20 journalists within at the payroll of the government. How and when we will see that you publish the list today?
There is no publication in which I mentioned that. I said in a radio interview, in a TV, in an online radio interview, that many of these journalists, they call me names. One of the one we just write, like News 24, they write this banner headline, say, me na a Guinean Sierra Leonean. When in actual fact, I was born in Makini, raised there, went to school there. My papa, my mama, you call me Guinean because I write about type of whole government of a country in which I'm born. You call me a foreigner because of that one.
The
type of
citizenship. And the media people.
You don't understand?
So you say
nowhere in the Africanist Press report, there is nowhere in any publication which we said that I said, when we look at public financial records in Sierra Leone, okay, I see a number of names of individuals that call themselves civil society and organizations that receive money from government. Okay, in the publication in which we have just published, we show how the government even spend money on media agencies outside of Sierra Leone. For example, you see Beyond World Studio, which is a group of journalists and researchers where they do public relations for governments and across the world, in which they paid them to organize, facilitate meeting for make the president of Sierra Leone meet with Bill Gates, for example, for making them participate at the goalkeepers conference. Nobody knew about that. Did you know about the fact that these people were paying media agencies outside of Sierra Leone for public relations? They never
finally, I believe Seo Gafford gets you for get some of the information there. Once upon a time, you know, be politician and also journalist. So which one you stand on now?
Well, anybody who is trying to make a distinction between a journalist and a political activist in Australia, I'm supposed to know the history of the media. Look at Wallace Johnson. Wallace Johnson was one of the most prominent journalists in West Africa, trade unionist, a political organizer of that nature. Look at all across Africa. It's not new. When you come with that kind of distinction, you're basically saying people like Charles Magai, who is a lawyer, cannot be active in politics. People in America, doctors like Samar Banja, cannot be active in politics. So the fact of the matter is, the journalism and the press is an avenue through which we express and participate in the debates on public policy. To be active in politics also is a right, is a constitutional right of every citizen. That means a member, there is nothing wrong in a multi-party environment where you belong to an organization, whether political, trade union, or whatever. So I think these people deserve to draw that distinction. They need to go back and read the media history. If they have gone to media schools, they go back and study.
Thank you very much, Baba, for when you talk to Radio Democracy. We go the contact when we need the station need for. Thank you very much for your time. Dana Cheng Noba from the African Express this morning talked to me on different issue them way it on the rights in organization or the rights boards. We not get enough time.